I think you would enjoy going to it. There are other couples retreat that I know of, very close to us, but I have not chose to go to those. A lot shorter distance, but I have been to at least one of the two that I'm talking of. And it's not that it's a bad one, it's just not something. I know the Lord's in those men, and I think they could help you in your life and your family that are there. Genesis chapter number 50, we'll begin reading verse 15. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear and Father, Lord, I pray as that song says, "It is well with my soul." And I believe, Lord, this is where you've led me to, this portion of Scripture. I pray that, God, you said in your word, you said, "Fear not, for I am with thee, and be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Yea, I will help thee, yea, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Lord, I claim that promise, and I pray you'd help me to write and divide the word of truth. But I pray not just me, Lord, help this audience, the individual. Lord, there be liberty by your Spirit to speak to the individual heart. And Lord, that we would be willing to change, be willing to say yes. Help us, Lord, I pray. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 50, verse number 15, "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly require us all the evil which we did unto him.' And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, 'Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sins, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father.' And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them." And we'll begin to stop our reading there. But in verse number 20, there's a statement there that says, God meant it unto good. God meant it unto good. In this portion of Scripture, if I'm too loud, y'all let me know because I get louder. I'm good? All right. But anyhow, I thank you for Gerald helping me back there. The sound guy gets a lot of grief, so he's in a bad place. But I will tell you, when we look at this portion of Scripture, we fast forwarded. Jacob lived roughly 147 years. This is Joseph's father. Well, Jacob had went to be with the Lord. He died. And so he had all these brethren. He had 12 sons. And those 12 sons make up the 12 patriarchs, which make up the tribe of Israel. And so from those 12 sons, the whole nation of Israel. And so God renamed Jacob. Remember, his name is no longer Jacob, but he called him Israel. And so many times you can say when God's talking, he's talking to Israel, he's talking to Jacob. But literally, he is talking to Israel. And so their father died. Well, the brothers hated Joseph. Joseph was the favorite son of his father, Jacob. He had another son, Benjamin, that was his second favorite, and that's my name, Benjamin, son of my right hand. But he only had two sons that from the wife that he loved, or at least that he worked 14 years from, and those two sons were Joseph and Benjamin. And Joseph here is ruler, but the sons from the other concubines, from his other wives, hated Joseph. Remember, he had the coat of many colors, and so they hated him. And so they sold him into slavery, thinking that he would die. But yet here he is, 20 years later, in this portion of Scripture, almost 40 years later, when their father dies. And so when he dies, they're thinking, you know what, Joseph's going to take it out on us now. He's second in command of Egypt there, and so he's going to bring all his wrath on us. And so they begin to plead with Joseph and say, look, before father died, he said, look, you be kind to us. I don't know if Jacob said that or not, but that's what they're saying here. He says, verse 16, And they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, the father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sins. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the service of the God of thy father. And then Joseph's heart was broken, the Bible says. Joseph wept over that. Because he couldn't believe that his brother still thought that there was bitterness, there was hardness in his heart. And so he was broken and he wept over that. And he begins to tell him, he said, am I in the place of God? He asked that question, am I in the place of God? He said, what you thought for evil and what you meant for evil, God meant for good. God meant for good. I had told you already there's 40 years that's basically transpired from when Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery to when he died here. But there was a lot of things that took place in the life of Joseph, in the life of Jacob, in the life of his brothers. A lot of things that took place in 40 years. But God was working in the lives of this family, the nation of Israel at this time. He's working in their lives. Let me tell you some things that took place in this 40 years. They were hated. Joseph was hated. Joseph was plotted against. He was a slave. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and by his own brethren. He was forsaken. He was forgotten. He was thrown in prison. So was his brothers. They were thrown in the war, the Bible says. They were thrown into jail. Simeon stayed in jail for quite a while, and so he was thrown into prison. There was a famine that took place. There were 7 years of plenty, and there were 7 years of famine. There were testings that took place. God tested, through Joseph, God tested his brothers, and he tested Jacob for almost 40 years. He was working in Jacob's life. And then there was utter despair. Utter despair. And I'm just giving you the surface of all these things that happened in their life in that 40-year span. Let me give you some statements that the family, at least the brothers and the father, said about these things that happened to them. In Genesis chapter number 44 and verse number 16, it says, God has found out the iniquity of thy servants. They said, God knows what we've done. God's found us out. They had been hiding their sin. Could you think about this? They had sold their brother for 20 pieces of silver. Could you imagine what they did with that silver? What would you do for the silver that you sold your own brother with? Could you spend it? Could you do anything with that silver? The Bible says that Judas sold the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. What did he do with that silver? He went back and threw it on the ground. And they said, that's blood money. And that's exactly what they sold their brother for. It ended up being blood money. At least that's what they thought. And so what could you do with that? And so their mind was being terrorized with that. And here they come. They thought their sin was fine. They said, God has found out the iniquity of us. He's found out our sins. Then they said, their heart failed them and said, what is this that God hath done unto us? What's God done unto us? And then let me tell you what Jacob said. Jacob said this, all these things are against me. All of this is against me. He found out that Joseph wanted Benjamin to come back. They didn't know he was Joseph at the time, but they were accused by Joseph, his brothers were, that they were spies just trying to spy out the land. And he said, how many are you? And they said, there's 12. One's gone. Talking about Joseph, they thought he was dead. And they said, we have one younger brother. He's with our father. He's not with us. He said, you cannot come back to find out whether you're true or not, true men. You have to bring Benjamin with you. And Jacob was still grieving over Joseph. And when their brother said, he said, we can't come back and get food until we have Benjamin with us. And this is what Jacob said. He said, all these things are against me. All these things are against me. That song is a fitting song that we sung, it is well with my soul. A lot of times things take place in our lives. Tribulation, trouble, sorrow, trials. We wonder, God, where are you at? Lord, what are you doing? In the midst of all these things, let me tell you, God was working. All these things, God was working. And God's working in your life. That statement, God meant it unto good. God made it in the garden. Let me show you how God was working, at least mention a few things how God was working. I want to tell you the first thing, God was working in the life of Joseph. God was working in the life of Joseph. Now when you look at Joseph, it's easy to think that Joseph didn't need any work. He didn't really even need any help in his spiritual life or in his life at all. You say, how do you know that? Well, remember Joseph in the Bible is a type and picture of Christ. And there is not one record of sin that Joseph did in the Bible. Not one record. Now we know that Joseph sinned. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that Joseph sinned. And so the silences of God are just as important sometimes as the things that are spoken outright or listed in the Scriptures. And so the silence there of Joseph that he never sinned, but that doesn't mean he did not sin. He did sin. And he did have struggles. He did have things that God needed to deal with him in his own life. He had a lot of things that took place. And I will just show you some Scriptures, if you would. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter number 41. And I will show you where you see this in the life of Joseph, where God was working and helping him in his life. In Genesis chapter number 41 and verse number 51, it says, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. That's Genesis 41, verse 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Now he said that God had made me forget. You know, we look at Joseph, like I said, there's no record of sin. There's no outward. It looks like he's such a great man. I think he was a great, powerful spiritual man. But you see that he's just like you and I. He had emotions. He had feelings. He had things in his life that went through his mind that troubled him. And so he says in here that this firstborn son, he had been given by Pharaoh a wife from the priest there of On, and so he had this wife, and the first baby they had was Manasseh, and that name meant, God has caused me to forget. Now what did he forget? The Bible lists here two things. He said he helped me to forget my toil. And I looked up that word toil. It means a struggle, and also means labor. Now remember, he had a struggle. The Bible says he was hurt physically by his own brothers. In Psalms 105th chapter, it says that his feet were hurt by the shackles that those Ishmaelites put on his feet to sold him into slavery. And so he was hurt. I'm sure he was thrown in that pit. I don't think they had any care of whether they put him in there lightly. They were wanting to kill him, to shed his blood, and Reuben, the oldest brother, stood in place and said, let's not do it. So I don't think they had any care whether Joseph was hurt or not. I think he was through in that deep well, in that pit. The Bible says that he pleaded, and when he pleaded, they didn't care for his pleas. Turn me down just a little bit, Jerry, if you don't mind. And so when you look at this, you see that he had that hurt. He was hurt physically by his own brothers. He was not only hurt physically by his brothers, but he was hurt by basically being a slave. You know, a slave didn't just go over there and say, well, you know what, like today we call people and say, well, I'm just a slave. I've heard people say that at work. They just worked me like a slave. I will tell you something. Joseph was worked like a slave. He was sold on the auction block as a slave, and when Potiphar saw him, he knew he was a worker, but the Bible says he put everything that was over in Potiphar's house under his hand. But he had to work. There probably wasn't any 8 hours and two breaks and a lunch. He had to work. And so he had to work as a slave, not just what we consider things. And so he worked there hard, and he worked for the struggles there as being a slave. Not only that, he was falsely accused. And so when he was falsely accused, he was thrown in the prison house. And in the prison, they had duties. They had the real chain gang. And he had to work. And so while he's working there, you know that there was labor, there was toil. That's what the Bible says in this verse 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, had made me forget all my toil. You know what God was doing with Joseph? He was preparing him to be second in command, to know how to rule and reign in Egypt. But he had to work as a slave. He had to work himself up all the way up. He was put in place over Potiphar. He was put in place over the keeper of the prison. And then he was placed there at the top of the kingdom, second in command of Egypt. But he had to work. And God blessed him there. And yet he was hurt physically. He was hurt with the toil, with the labor. But the Bible goes on to say, forget all my toil. And look what he says, in all my father's house. He said, the Lord's helped me to forget all my struggle. But he's helped me forget my father's house. You know, how would you like to be a slave, boy, even if you were exalted to second in command, and to know that your brothers hated you so much and sold you and didn't care whether you lived or died. And yet you were your father's favorite son. And yet he thought you were dead. You were absolutely forsaken. You don't think that bothered Joseph? Don't you know he had emotions? He had things in his heart. And so God was working in Joseph's life to help him to forget. But I want you to look also in verse number 52. He not only helped him forget, the Bible says he helped him to be fruitful. Genesis 41, verse number 52, it says, in the name of the second, called he Ephraim. This is the second son. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. He was only 17 years old when he was sold into slavery. He lived to be 110 years old. More of his life had been lived in Egypt. In affliction, he said, than as a young teenage boy with his own family. And he said, God gave me this son, not only helped me forget, but he gave me the second son and helped me to be fruitful. You know, a lot of people are stopped. When troubles come in their life, when circumstances, trials, they let those things defeat them. They're usually halted. But Joseph allowed God to work in his life to help him to forget, but also to help him to be fruitful. To be fruitful. He gave him a second son. He said, God, give me a home, a family, a wife, children, to know that blessedness of having that joy of family here in the land of affliction. Even though I've lost my brother, even though I've lost my father, he said, God, give me that joy of knowing a family. God makes him, made him fruitful. He made him fruitful not only with his family, but he made him fruitful really in favor. God exalted him to be the second in the throne. And so when you look at Joseph, God was working in his life. Can I tell you another thing that God worked in Joseph's life? He helped Joseph to forgive. He helped Joseph forgive. Let me, if you would, just think in your mind's eye, I would let you turn to the Scriptures. But the Bible talks about Joseph. Let's see if I can find it here. In verse number 9, turn to Genesis 42. Let's look at verse number 9, if you would, with me. Now remember, God brought a famine, and so He brought His brothers. He hadn't seen His brothers. It had been 20 years that had taken place, had been passed. And so there was a famine in the land. Now He's second in command. And the Bible says His brothers come. They don't know Joseph because Joseph looks like an Egyptian. He's clean shaven. He's got Egyptian clothes. And he's no longer dressed like a shepherd. And so when his brothers come, they don't recognize him, but he recognizes them. And it says there in verse number 9 that they bowed down to him, and Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them. Joseph, when he was a young man, he had two dreams. He had a dream that those sheaves, his sheaf of wheat, and all those other 12 sheaves would bow down to his stack of wheat. He told that dream to his brothers, and they said, "What do you think we're going to worship you?" Then he had a dream of the sun, the moon, and the stars all worship and bow down to him. He told that to his brothers and to his father, and his father said the same thing, rebuked him for it. "I'm not going to bow down to you. Your mother's not going to bow down to you." And so he got rebuked for it, but the Bible says when they bowed down to him, he said he remembered the dreams that he had. God brought it back to his heart. He said, God is bringing all this into fruition. You say, brother, so how do you know that Joseph forgave him? Well, there's a lot of things that took place in Joseph's life that were wrong besides his family. You know, Potiphar had him there, but Potiphar threw him in prison. Why? Because he was falsely accused and lied upon by Potiphar's wife. And so most people, you know what we do? We get in that place of authority. And I will tell you, he had absolute authority. Other than the king of Pharaoh, he had all authority. He could do whatever. He had all these men underneath him, all the nation of Egypt underneath him. He could have went to Potiphar and said, Potiphar, I'm going to get my relief, my vengeance out on you and on your wife. But he didn't do that. He had the opportunity to do it to his brothers. But he didn't do it. Can I tell you something that is easy to miss? But in all three accounts, where God helped him forget, God helped him to be fruitful, and God helped him forgive, in all three accounts, there's a statement that's made. That's not a cliché. We live in a society today that has all the Christian clichés, but very few beliefs, and almost no convictions. But I want you to look back with me, and I've read them over and over again in the 41st chapter. And look with me in the 51st chapter. It says, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. Well, he says, for God said, for God hath made me forget. Who made Joseph forget? God did. Look at the next verse, 52. And the second he called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful. Our verse we started with in Genesis chapter number 50 with his brothers, he said, you meant it unto evil, but God meant it unto good. God had worked in Joseph's life. And there are many times we look at people on the outward and we think, you know what, they don't really need the help that I need. Joseph would have been one of those people. But you don't know what's going on the inside. You don't know what's going on in the heart. But I can tell you who can help you. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. God will help you to forget. Let me give you number two. God was not only working in the life of Jesus or of Joseph, but God was working in the circumstances. God works in circumstances. And the verse, I hope you get it, but he said, God meant it unto good. God works a lot of circumstances. I want you to think in me with me with Job. Now, God allowed Job to be tested and tried, and he unleashed Satan, or allowed Satan to do everything he wanted to do with Job except kill him. He could do everything he wanted to do. He said the only thing that God said to Satan is you cannot touch his flesh, you cannot kill him. You can touch his body, but you cannot kill him. And so he unleashed and immediately killed his whole family. Except his wife. Ye two shall be one flesh. I think he couldn't kill her. If he could, he would have. And he just began to bring the chastisement and all it seemed like the just the trial and the trouble. But you know who allowed that? God allowed it. You see, in the same time that he was going through the trial, Satan was the one that was doing the work, allowed to do the work. God was doing the building. In Job's life, he was doing the building. The trial is going to come. The circumstances will come. The trouble will come. Whatever it may be, it will come. But we have to either say, you know what, I'm going to let be blessed and built, or I'm going to let this circumstance shape and mold me. And so that's exactly what was taking place there in some people's lives. And so the circumstances will take place, but we have to allow God to do the work in our life. Let me talk to you about how he works in circumstances. Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, we have it all planned out how God, we think he can work it out in my life. How he can work it out in your life. That's not God's ways. I'll give you a verse here in a minute, but Jacob, like I said, all these things are against me. But all these things were the situations, were the problems, were the things God were using in Jacob's life. They were things that God was using in Jacob's son's life. They were things that God was using in Joseph's life to make them what they ought to be. Let me give you some circumstances. The plotting against Joseph was the thing that put him in Egypt. If it wasn't for the plotting of his brothers, he would have been there. The dreams. He had his thrown in prison. There were two dreams that were given to him. The dream of the chief baker and the dream of the chief butler dreaming the same night. Almost an identical dream. They both came through. Joseph gave them the interpretation. Both of them came true. One of them was hung, and one of them was put back in his position. If it wasn't for those dreams, if it wasn't for him being in that prison, he would never have been exalted out of the prison to interpret Pharaoh's dream to be the second. You see how God used the circumstances? And so instead of being bitter, he was being blessed. God used the famine to bring Israel to Egypt. He used the famine to do that. God uses the persecution of the church and the early church to spread the gospel. I mean, the greatest gospel, the Bible says they've turned the world upside down with that gospel. But God used persecution to get it spread. God used the prison house to write half of the New Testament. Paul wrote half of the New Testament, 13 to 14 books. He wrote most of them in a prison. On the Isle of Patmos, there John the Apostle was exiled. And God gave us the book of Revelations on the island of exile there that he was being persecuted. And so you look at those things. When you look at the cross, the death of Christ, it brought redemption. It brought salvation. We look at the circumstance and we say, there's no way. I want you to turn your Bible to Romans chapter number 8 with me. Romans chapter number 8. Romans 8. This is a verse that most of us know and quote. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Do you know it? That verse says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. You know where the problem lies? Those two things. Those that are yielded to the call and following the Lord. You say, well, things didn't work out for me because you didn't follow the Lord. In the trouble, in the circumstances, you said, you know what, I'm forsaking the Lord. You didn't allow the circumstance to mold you and to make you what God wants to make out of us. And that's why He uses the circumstance and uses the trouble. When you look at it, the Bible says, and we know God will never forsake us. Let me give you another verse, 39, that same verse. He says, verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God will work things out, and God, you can never separate us, the believer, from His love. Never. And so in the circumstances, is God working in your life? You see the trouble. But God said these things, He meant it unto good. You know one thing that I noticed about Joseph? He had the right perspective. He saw it from God's point of view. You know, I thought if we knew everything 2020, they say hindsight 2020. Well, that's not always true, but most of the time it is. You look back, man, if I'd have known that, I'd have walked this way, I'd have done that. You know, you think God could help us to have that view in the trouble, in the trial? You think God could do that? If He did it for Joseph, don't you think He'd do it for us? You believe that? And we know. And we know. Why don't we ask the Lord, say, Lord, I'm through the trial, I'm going through the trouble. Would You give me the proper perspective? The Lord keeps us. Taught that in Sunday school. God keeps us. But God will also help us to have the right view of God. Because that's one thing the devil wants to do, destroy your view and my view of God in our life. God is a good God. and what others mean for evil, God can and will use it for good. We're alive. Let me give you number three, and quickly. God is working not only, like I said, in the life of Joseph and in your life. God works through the circumstances, but God works for His purpose. His purpose. When I think about it, there are many things that could say about how the Lord worked. And I tell you, He worked all through the life of Joseph and Jacob. God wanted to bring a restoration. Let's go back to Genesis chapter number 50. I'm going to read this verse to you in verse number 20. But as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass. That's the circumstances. To bring to pass. What did He want to bring to pass? As it is this day, to save much people alive. God had His plan. God had His purpose. God pictured Joseph as the Messiah and as the Savior. He's just a picture, but he's at least 40 different ways He is a type, a picture of Christ. He reveals who Jesus is. His acts were not just the plan in Jacob's day, but in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, the seed, the plan for all of eternity was to save many people alive, to save us all. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why do you think He sent the Lord Jesus Christ before us to die in our place, to die on the cross, to be buried, to be risen from the grave, to fulfill the commandment that you and I could not fulfill, to pay the sin debt that you and I owed, to give eternal life that only He can give? Only Christ can do that. That's His plan. That's His purpose. But God has a lot of plans here, and He wanted to bring reconciliation to Jacob with his son, to Joseph with his brothers. He wanted to bring that restoration there in that family. But He was working one other thing. I'm going to just mention this one. He was working a heart of repentance in the heart of his brothers. He was working repentance. When you look, I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter number 44, and we'll close here. Genesis chapter number 44. Verse number 14, we'll begin reading. Genesis 44, verse 14. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. A lot of people accuse Joseph of being cruel to his brothers. I'm going to tell you, he was trying to work and see in their heart if they were true men. They said, "We're true men. We're honest men." Well, he knew them. They weren't always honest. But he wanted to see if God had worked in their heart a heart of repentance. And here they fall before him. And they begin to plead before him on the ground. I want you to look at verse number 16. And Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves?" This is what he says. "God has found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found." Judah was willing to stand and be a slave, if not even being killed, for his own brother Benjamin. Now before, they were willing to kill. Judah wanted to kill his brother Joseph. But now Judah said, "I'll be a slave. God's found us out." Every one of them were willing to stand and to be a slave in place of Benjamin. God had worked in their heart and their life a work of repentance. Many times God brings troubles in our lives and circumstances and trials to work in our heart real repentance and a real reconciliation and a restoration to the Lord. You may be going through trouble. God may be building you, or you may not allow Him to build you. God is trying to mean this for good in your life and in mine, for His purpose, not ours. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You know, I don't know one of you what you're going through. I know you by name, but I don't know what you're going through. I don't know your life. I don't know your troubles. I don't know your trials. I don't know those things. But God knows. And I pray, maybe you don't know the situation right now, what God's trying to do in that circumstance, that trouble, that trial. Why don't you ask Him? While the invitation is being given, even now, why don't you ask Him? Say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Why don't you ask the Lord to give you maybe the proper perspective so you can go forward? Maybe it is the Lord's trying to work a heart of repentance in you and in me to turn us back to Him. These brothers, 40 years later, God had worked a work of repentance and still working on them and brought them to the place that He desired for them to be. Now I want to tell you something. Jesus will meet you there. Jesus will meet you there. Let's all stand with your heads bowed, with your eyes closed. He's singing or playing 508, His Way With Thee. This invitation is open. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you've never been born again, somebody's never taken the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. I can take the Bible. A man will take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. A lady will take the Bible and tell you how you can know for sure. Many of you need to be a member and identify with a local church. Why don't you make this church? Pray about the Lord's will. Some of you, like I said, God's working in your life, circumstances, trouble, whatever it may be, to bring you where you ought to be. That's all. Let Him have His way with thee. Would you live for Jesus, and we always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Amen. Brother Joaquin, why don't you close us in prayer?